أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب صدق الله العظيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مثل الذي يذكر ربه والذي لا يذكر مثل الحي والميت وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصيام بعد صيام شهر رمضان شهر الله المحرم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected brothers and elders, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the ayat which I have recited in the khutbah, Allah Ta'ala mentions that الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that those believers and those who brought iman in Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and together with bringing iman, their hearts are at peace and content with the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. In the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, their hearts are at peace. Then Allah Ta'ala further mentions, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that behold and take note that peace and contentment can only be found in the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So we may have experienced this where when we were younger or in our youth, then at that time our focus and all our energy is we're trying to look for some thrill, some adventure, you know, going the limits, trying to live life on the edge. But as you grow older and your focus starts to change and your energy levels drop, now you begin to look for peace and contentment in life. You want to take things easy. You don't want to go and take and be risky. So you're looking for contentment. So you get some people who even book exotic holidays and go to exotic islands and destinations looking for that peace and contentment. Or some people will even take up some types of hobbies like fishing or different types of sports to get their mind off their daily worries. And some might even resort to some types of sin, whether it's womanizing, alcohol, substance abuse, taking drugs, etc. All this to get some type of enjoyment, take their minds off their daily worries. But may Allah Ta'ala protect us from all these vices. But a person who's involved in this will soon realize and understand that the enjoyment in these things are short-lived. As Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that the life of this world is nothing but an enjoyment of deception. It is a deceptive enjoyment. So it might be some type of enjoyment. You might find some type of pleasure and enjoyment in these things. But the enjoyment is either short-lived, or together with that enjoyment, quickly what will follow is regret and misery. So a person gets involved in these types of haram, then he will eventually regret it. Or if a person is involved in some halal activity, it may be enjoyable, but soon he will get bored and look for something else. So this enjoyment is very short-lived compared to the enjoyment and the peace and contentment that we receive in the remembrance and dhikr of Allah Ta'ala. Now if you look at this word dhikr, because of the language barriers between the English and the Arabic, sometimes this word is misunderstood or mistranslated. When we talk about dhikr, we understand that someone holding a tasbih in their hand and reciting certain words. But dhikr is much more vast than that. It's not confined to just holding a tasbih and sing some words, whether it's subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala mentions in another part of the Quran that وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that establish salah for my dhikr, for my remembrance. So from here we can understand that Allah Ta'ala used salah in this case, and he mentions that establish salah, pray salah for my remembrance. So from here we can understand and we can deduce that any type of ibadat will be regarded as dhikr and remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Because whilst you are performing that act, whilst, or one of the motivating factors to carry out the ibadat is the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. We are currently passing through the period which is known as the Ashhurul Hurum, the sacred months. So Allah Ta'ala mentions regarding this year in the Holy Quran أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم That certainly the number of months according to Allah Ta'ala which Allah Ta'ala stipulated and Allah Ta'ala created when Allah Ta'ala has created the skies and the earth So Allah Ta'ala stipulated the period of the year and He stipulated 12 months. From those 12 months, Allah Ta'ala made four of them sacred and noble. So the four sacred months, the first one or one of them being the month of Rajab. Then the other three months, the three remaining months are months which come consecutively, they come one after the other. The first one being Dhul-Qa'dah. Then Dhul-Hijjah, which we have just passed, and the month in which one of the greatest pillars of Islam is carried out, which is the Hajj. Regarding the Hajj, there are many virtues and benefits, and we possibly have Hujjaj amongst us even. It is narrated from a great Sahabi, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu an, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the performance of the Umrah is an expiation for the sins which are committed between that Umrah and the previous Umrah. So between one Umrah and the other, whatever sins are committed between that, those sins, because of the Umrah, is cancelled out. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further mentions that the reward for a accepted Hajj, a Hajj Mabrur, a Hajj which has been accepted by Allah Ta'ala, is nothing except Jannah and Paradise. So imagine what a great reward a person receives for performing the Hajj and carrying it out in the right way. This is what we're all after. We're all striving towards Jannah. And a Haji performing the Hajj in a correct way gets Jannah. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that if a person performs the Hajj and during his Hajj he is not obscene or he does not transgress, so he protects himself, he protects his tongue, he doesn't fight with anyone, he doesn't violate any laws of Allah Ta'ala or anyone's rights, then such a person, when he returns home, he returns as if the day his mother gave birth to him. So he returns sinless, like a newborn baby. So there are many, many other virtues which are mentioned for a haji and a person who performs hajj. But the thing is, most of us, or if not all of us, have the desire to perform hajj. But some have the means, and there is a barrier, or some have the desire and the means, but because of the quota system, a person is restricted. And in our case currently, we're going to have to wait another few, at least 11 months before Hajj comes again. But Allah Ta'ala has been so merciful and so kind to us, where Allah Ta'ala is always looking for opportunities to, you know, give us these rewards without much effort. So if you look at it, the reward for reciting the Qul Huwallahu Ahad Surah Ikhlas 3 times, if a person recites Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times, a person gets the reward of as if reciting the entire Quran Sharif. So someone can't recite the Quran Sharif, or someone doesn't have time, he can just read Surah Al-Ikhlas 3 times and a person will receive the reward for that. So likewise, for Hajj, there are certain acts if a person have to carry out, then the person will receive the rewards of the Haji and the Hajj. It is mentioned in the Hadith that if a person performs his Fajr Salah with Jama'ah, and after performing the Fajr Salah, he remains seated in his place, engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, engaged in Dhikr. So as I mentioned, that Dhikr doesn't specifically refer to reciting the specific words, but it can be any type of Ibadat. So a person is engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, whether he is performing Salah, he can't perform Salah at that time, whether he is reciting Quran Sharif or making some dua, or is reciting his morning surahs. So he remains seated after till the sun rises, 10 to 15 minutes after the sun rises. And then he performs two rakats of Salatul Ishraq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that such a person will receive the reward of one Hajj and one Umrah, complete. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this three times, that complete reward of Hajj and Umrah. So imagine just a few minutes, every day a person can receive these rewards of the Hajj. And we have mentioned the benefits and virtues of Hajj. And in another narration it is mentioned that if a person recites Subhanallah 100 times in the morning, and that person recites Subhanallah 100 times in the evening, when a person thinks about these type of rewards and how Allah Ta'ala gives, and Allah Ta'ala's treasures are limitless, a person will be shocked. So a person recites 100 times Subhanallah in the morning, and he recites 100 times Subhanallah in the evening. For such a person, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that he will receive the reward equal to a haji who performed Hajj 100 times. Subhanallah, imagine this here. But the point is that sometimes it is difficult. Small actions are simple, but they are difficult to remember and to do. So we should try to inculcate this in our lives, at least performing the Ishraq Salah together with the Fajr Jama'ah. Even if it's not every day, at least once a week we can get the reward of Hajj once a week. And reciting Subhanallah in the morning and evening 100 times, we receive 100 rewards of Hajj. Then there was Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, 2 months of the sacred months. And then the fourth of the sacred months is the month of Muharram, which we are currently in. The month of Muharram, we all know, is the mark and the beginning of the new Islamic year, the Islamic calendar. The Islamic calendar follows the lunar system. Contrary to the Gregorian calendar, which follows the solar system, we follow the lunar system to do with the moon. And in the lunar system, an entire year is 354 days approximately. Contrary to the solar system, which is 365 days. So there is 11 days difference, 11 days less in the Islamic year than the Gregorian year. So for this reason, every year you'll notice that the month of Ramadan, for example, is coming 10 days closer to the beginning of the year. This itself is a blessing, if you have to really look at it, where we're following the lunar system in our Sharia. Because imagine if we're following the solar system. Now, for example, some places, we know that in the summer months, their day is around 22 hours. So imagine if the time was fixed according to the solar system in those places, and if Ramadan was in those summer months, every year they would have been fasting for 22 hours. And on the contrary, you get some places where in the winter, the days are as short as 10 hours. So every year they would be fasting for 10 hours is an imbalance. It's not equal to all the people. So the hikmah is that the days are moving so everyone can get a taste of the hardship and ease. And this Islamic calendar was established during the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the second Khalifa of Islam. So what happened was that during that time, previously, they used to make note of dates according to some type of great event. If a great event took place, then they'll mention few years after this great event. That's how they used to keep track of their dates. But so Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khilafat, he received one letter from a sahabi, Hazrat Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu. And he wrote in his letter and he said that, "I receive letters from you, O Amirul Mu'mineen, that you instruct us to do certain actions or carry out certain tasks. But sometimes you write we must carry out the certain tasks, for example, in the month of Sha'ban. But we are getting confused because we don't know if it's the Sha'ban of this year or Sha'ban of next year." So this year sparked this year where Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu decided that an Islamic calendar needs to be established. So he gathered a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum to discuss. And they all gave the input. And one of the suggestions were that, when should we start now this calendar? When should the calendar be started from? So one of the inputs were that let it be at the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, or the month Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, or the year. Let's start the Islamic calendar from that day. Another suggestion was given, that the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And there were a few other suggestions. One was the day, the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made Hijrah, and the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam received Nubuwwat. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he didn't like the opinion where the calendar should be started at the birth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he said that's how the Christians have made their calendar, at the birth of Isa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala knows whether it's correct or not, but they base their calendar on the birth of Isa alayhi salam, so you don't want to emulate the Christians. And the death of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a very sad time. They don't want to take that suggestion, because there was a time where the Muslims were grieving, and it was a time that they didn't want to associate something so great with the sadness of the departure of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu eventually decided that it will be from the Hijrah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the time that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam migrated from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum all agreed and they accepted this. So in the year of 17, the 17th year, this year, this calendar was established. So that's how the Islamic calendar got established. And as we said, the first month of the Islamic calendar is Muharram, which we are currently in. This month of Muharram, the Hadith Sharif, which I've quoted in the beginning of my khutbah, wherein Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ الصِّيَامِ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The most virtuous fast after the fast of the month of Ramadan. Obviously, that's the most virtuous. It's obligatory on everyone to fast. But the most virtuous after the month of Ramadan is fasting in the month of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam termed it as the month of Allah, which is Muharram. So this is the most virtuous month to fast after the month of Ramadan. Now, the month of Muharram, which is, if you translate Muharram, it means sacred. So this month, all 4 months are sacred, the 4 months which we have mentioned. But this month has been named Muharram to lay extra emphasis on this month. Because in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of the Arabs, what they used to do is they used to take the months, they used to also regard these months as sacred. But they had this habit that whenever they felt like, because fighting and war is prohibited in these months. So what they used to do is they used to swap the month around and say this year, this month won't be Muharram, Muharram will come later on, and they used to switch the months like that. So this year, Muharram has been mentioned to show extra emphasis on the sacredness of this month. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that this is the month of Allah, to also show more sacredness towards the month, to show emphasis of its sacredness. Just like how you get all the masajid, which are known as the houses of Allah. But when we say Baytullah, we know which way we are referring to in Makkah Mukarramah, to show its sacredness. So likewise, this month is known as Allah Ta'ala's month, to show its sacredness. So the month of Muharram, fasting in the month that we have mentioned, is most virtuous after fasting in the month of Ramadan. Then in this month, there's a special day. This special day in Islam, which is known as Ashura. The word Ashura comes from the Arabic word Ashara, which is 10. So on the 10th of Muharram is the special day of Ashura. Many special events have taken place on this day, on a specific day of Ashura. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned regarding fasting on this day. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that I am hopeful that the person who fasts on this day, on the 10th of Ashura, of 10th of Muharram, which is Ashura, which is probably next week, if I'm not mistaken, Tuesday night, Wednesday. So fasting on this day, a person will have his entire year's sins forgiven, the past year's sins. And this day of Ashura was before the month of Ramadan was made obligatory on the Muslims to fast. The day of Ashura was obligatory. So what an important day. Even after the fasting of Ramadan has come, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam still shows so much importance to this day. And towards the end of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, he used to fast on this day. Even the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to make the children fast on this day. That's how important it was. But to go against the kuffar, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised that a day be fast before or a day after, because the Jews used to also fast on this day. So when the Muslims came to Medina Munawwara and they observed the Jews fasting on this day of Ashura, so they inquired, why are you fasting on this day? They replied that this is the day that Allah Ta'ala saved the Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam from the tyranny of Fir'aun. So we fast in celebration for that. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that we are more rightful to fast and we are closer to Musa alayhi salam than the Jews are. So we will fast on this day and join a day before it, which is the 9th of Muharram, or join a day after it as to go against the Jews. Don't copy the Jews. So imagine in fasting, in an ibadat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is advising us to go against the Jews. So all the more when it comes to their social life and how they conduct themselves, we should be more cautious of following and emulating the Jews or even the other kuffar. So this is the day of Ashura. We should fast a day before and a day after, the 9th and 10th or the 10th and 11th. Then another important thing to note on this day is, which comes in a hadith sharif also, people are encouraged to spend more on their families on this day. It is mentioned that the person who spends on his household and who is lenient and free in spending on them on this day of Ashura, then Allah Ta'ala will increase and Allah Ta'ala will widen that person's sustenance for an entire year. But this does not mean that we should now, as is customary nowadays, where we exchange gifts, or you know, we have special eatings and distant relatives where you're exchanging gifts. But this is talking more about spending on your close family members, those who are under you, and inshallah you'll receive this reward. Another important event which has taken place on this day was a sad incident, which is the Karbala. But this day has not become important because of the Karbala, the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu, the beloved grandson of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, this day was important before. The Shias, they make this day important, associated to the Karbala. But this day was important. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast before even his grandson was martyred. So this day, even though we remember and we talk about the martyrdom, we feel the pain, because it is the beloved grandson of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but this day has not become auspicious because of the martyrdom of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Because there were many senior Sahaba who were martyred, and there was no specific day which we celebrate or which we mourn on those days for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So these are a few points which we should take note of on this day and the special month of Muharram. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal on what has been said. Just to recap quickly, we were talking about dhikr and the importance of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and all these ibadat which I mentioned, the fasting, salah, all those falls under the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And we spoke about the hajj, how important and how many virtues and benefits there are for performing the hajj. But a quick way to get all those benefits, if a person doesn't have the opportunity to go himself physically and perform the hajj, is to perform the Ishraq Salah after performing the Fajr Salah with Jamaat, remaining engaged for a few minutes until the sun rises. Ishraq time, a person performs 2 rakat Salah, he gets the reward of 1 Hajj and 1 Umrah complete. Or reciting 100 Subhanallah in the morning, 100 Subhanallah in the evening, a person will get the reward for 100 Hajj. We should try to make amal on what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.